Right now, it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. It's time to bring in Cynthia Hoswinder and Janet Manco, and let's see if they're both there. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning.
Good morning, Janet.
Hi, good morning.
Everybody's around the campfire.
Great.
Roasting marshmallows.
Thinking about Jell-O. Triple Jell-O.
Did you ever wonder what was in there?
No.
No, and I never got to eat it, but it looked so good. There was like a foamy chiffoni layer.
There was the middle sort of moussey layer, and then the top that was the so-called sort of whipped cream. I don't know which one was the chiffon. I love that word. I don't know which one was supposed to be the chiffon.
Anybody who knows me knows I never worried about what I eat anywhere.
Okay. It's a little chemical.
That's right. Everything's made of chemicals. All right. So let's go right to the Lakeville Journal this morning. And we'll go over on the right-hand side of the front page where there's a story about the regional budget passing easily.
Very, very tiny turnout for this budget. But as they always say, people don't vote when they feel like things are going pretty well. So I guess things are going pretty well. And, of course, we have felt strongly that the Region 1 school district superintendent's office has done an excellent job of keeping people informed during COVID and of managing the schools in a way where there really was not a wild outbreak of COVID. So the budget is passed, and we begin another year.
All right. We'll slide down. And I just did a story this morning on Berkshire County, where Berkshire County had the biggest spike in COVID deaths in the state of Massachusetts for the year. We look at your newspaper, the Lakeville Journal, and a spike once again in Litchfield County in drug-related deaths.
Right. And I would have to say that there are moments when we can tell from the obituaries that we see that there is a spike. But as a general rule, for reasons I'm not completely clear on, it's hard to tell. And I think part of it is that you expect it to be in a certain age group, and it's not. I think probably around here it may be a little older than you expect it to be. But it's also, you know, it's hard to interpret what the cause of death is in obituaries. We generally don't run a cause of death. People don't submit it. We don't usually share it. But there was a major spike in opioid-related deaths in Litchfield County at the end of April. And the numbers that we have go, I think, until May 2nd, which probably just indicates that they hadn't had the numbers yet when they released those first numbers. So, I can't imagine why that one particular week would be super high, but everything else would be spiked when weeks after would not be. So, sadly, I think we're moving into a period of a lot of despair. Maybe people home too much, maybe people coming back out of quarantine and going back to a dosage that they had used before, which is no longer safe for them, but a time for great empathy for the families who lose their loved ones.
Absolutely. A nice story on the National Day of Prayer, which I think is now in its either 13th or 14th year, and is observed in almost every town that I know of in the Northwest Corner.
With pretty good turnout. Barbara Shonley is the one who organizes it in the area, and they do a small ceremony, I think, in all six towns. But Patrick Sullivan has some nice photos here from the Salisbury ceremony, and it really is not a church-centric activity. It really is giving prayers of thanks for the nation and for all who serve. Nice photo of Ron Solon from Salisbury, lovely, wonderful guy, giving the prayer of thanks for service people. Veterans, and Lila Hawken has some nice pictures from Sharon on our jump page, A6.
All right, and right underneath that picture on the front page, good news about the high school. It's open again, and that the graduation ceremony is back on the front lawn.
Right, and, you know, we've got some great pictures last year when they had the graduation ceremony at Lime Rock, but we're very happy to have the ceremony back on the school campus, and we'll hope that the weather's good.
Well, even if it's not good, they're not going to move it inside. So they'll probably set up some sort of tents. But it's just nice. Another indicator, along with spring coming in and summer not far behind, and the state of Connecticut on the 19th. Basically, if you've been vaccinated, you can leave your mask off until you get into a really tight closed area. But almost everything will be off the books beginning May 19th, except for wearing masks in the state of Connecticut. So. Everything's going in the right direction for right now.
Right. It already says in this article they have a
large tent rented for all kinds of activities at the end of the year. So they're prepared.
Yep.
Patrick describes it.
All right. Right below that, Lila Hawken, reading a forest like an open book.
Tom Wessels, one of the many incredibly informed people about the woods, and of course Deb and Bruce Bennett, who for many years owned the Kent landscaping and greenhouse business. It's so beautiful. Cornwall residents, and had done a presentation on May 1st, excuse me, on Zoom, on reading the forest. In other words, walking through and being able to figure out what had happened there before. So that Tom says, like, you can look at the ground. If it's very flat, you knew that historically it was agricultural. Sorry, let me just take a sip of water.
It's
very bumpy. You know, it was really originally forest. And so this is going to be followed up by a trail walk, which I think is probably already fully subscribed but done on June 5th. But if you're interested in walking through the forest with somebody who can really explain to you what's happening, it's a great opportunity to do it.
All right. And as we move over to the bottom right side of the front page, a story by Patrick Sullivan, Patriotism as a Way to Unite, Not Divide.
Really continually interesting programs at Noble Horizons, where Carolyn Birchfield does a great job. And, of course, she has this interesting link to the Hotchkiss School. So you often get people who are teachers. This happens to be an author who did a book on patriotism, a very interesting moment when the country is so divided, and even our own community is divided so much over some of these topics, such as affordable housing. A person talking about, you know, how communities coalesce around an idea, how we in America look at patriotism and how it ends up becoming a party-dominated conversation.
All right. And but that's an interesting headline, because you always thought that patriotism was something that would unite this country. And obviously, over the past year and a half, we found out that it's something that, if not equally or a little bit more, also divides the country. People have a different view of patriotism, and it's all political. So it's an interesting headline anyway. I have to talk about the picture on the next page, the picture of the bobcat. I mean, that is just such a great picture of a bobcat, just, you know, finding his way, looking for things.
If you've ever watched one of these beautiful animals in your yard, there's a particular way they lift their paws up that's very sort of slow and thoughtful as they're hunting for their prey. But a nice photo from Rob Buccino, a nice break from the usual bear photos. Happy not to see any bears on Main Street yet, but always happy to have people send us in their nature photos.
All right, and look at that right there. The Democrats are looking for somebody for the 30th Senate District seat.
Right, to oppose Senator Craig Miner, who's been in office for a very long time. And the date of the convention is in there, but they're looking for people to step up and participate, and that's, you know, a big, important job. So people do always want to make a difference. This is your opportunity to have your voice heard and represent your community.
All right. Now, I want to go on to Patrick's story on the affordable housing and also the cellular tower balloon.
Speaking of divisive issues, boy, affordable housing in our communities, especially in Falls Village and Salisbury, has really split the community. And people who would normally often be on the same side of issues are dividing on this in Salisbury, which is hard to watch. The cell tower also, largely the people that are most vocal in opposing the affordable housing have tended so far to be people who live around the lake. There is also a proposed cell tower for the property owned by the Wake Robin Inn, and there seems to be a strong contingent of lakeside property owners that's also opposing the building of that because it ruins their view shed. So you actually can't see that easily in this photo because it's black and white. You can see it online. But there is a little tiny black dot at the top of the tree line, which is the red balloon that they floated up so that area residents could see how visible the tower will be.
It's I'll stay clear of that, but I think it's hardly visible at all from the lake. I think there's other places that it's going to be visible from, but the lake is not the worst one. But a nice story about a playground made lovelier with some trees.
Right, a nice they have a new director of recreation in Falls Village, Emily Peterson, and she had reached out for Grant and did some nice work up at what they used to call the town farm, the Falls Village Recreation Center, where they have their swimming pool and some outdoor activities. So a nice combination of grant funds, but also people from the community volunteering to come out and do some tidying up in preparation for the summer.
And actually, one of my favorite days of the year is coming up, and that is Hazardous Waste Day. Really, House, we have so many different cleaning products and paint and things like that that are so poisonous and horrible that this really is a great day to get rid of all that stuff safely.
There's a lot of stuff that you're throwing out, not you, but that one is throwing out, and that people don't realize is super toxic. It should not be going into the garbage stream, including pretty much any household cleaner you have. So if you're thinking like, oh, I've just got a quarter inch of bleach left in my jar there, my bottle, don't take it to the garbage, the regular garbage. You have to keep it and wait for the annual household hazardous waste day. If you've done any painting, if you've got pesticides, if you've got herbicides, propane, things like that, you really have to take them for this household hazardous waste disposal day, which is very cool. Because everybody's there dressed in spacesuits even before COVID, because these are very toxic things, and everything has to be taken out of your car. You're not allowed to get out of the car. You're not allowed to touch it. This is true pre-COVID, and they will not give you back any of your containers.
And, you know, when you think about it, underneath your sink is one of the most toxic areas in your house. I mean, maybe most people keep it in garage and everything, but when I was growing up, the stuff that you could find underneath the sink, my grandmother and my mother put locks on that so kids couldn't get in underneath the sink because there was so much stuff there. Cornwall's having their town meeting coming up on the 21st.
Right, everybody's sort of wrapping up. They've been fairly quiet budget season, although in a funny way, I think there's probably been more attendance at budget meetings this year just because they're on Zoom, and it is easier for people to kind of be wandering by the dining table and click on their laptop and sit in. So that's actually a great thing. It's possible that some towns will continue to Zoom or live stream their meetings in addition to having them in person. I think that you're not allowed to vote if you're on Zoom. You have to come in. Cornwall's coming up May 21st.
Yeah, Cornwall is on the 21st. Kent is on the 21st. And I think North Canaan's North Canaan's on the 19th.
Yeah, and theirs is, they've moved pretty quickly away from Zoom. They're really preferring to have their meetings in person.
Yeah. Essential service getting upgrades in Cornwall.
That's right. There's been a lot of infrastructure stuff going on. Cornwall is very, kind of quietly moving forward and very businesslike for a town that we think of as being a little bohemian. It's actually a very business-like town and does a lot of infrastructure work. And one thing that we've been hearing about in Cornwall, which is definitely true in all the towns, is with more people up here full-time during COVID, and especially with more people ordering services and ordering products from the Internet, there's been a huge influx of extra trash at the transfer stations, particularly brown cardboard boxes that have to be recycled. So a move up toward increasing their staff there and other things they're looking at in terms of also support for the community and the food pantry and the fuel donation.
Okay, and also on the next page, the Falls Village budget hearings May 21st. But on the top of page A5, we have the obituary for John Miller, an amazing man involved in probably one of the most explosive periods of media journalism.
John, so this is actually an obituary page where we have three greats. We've got Ed Kirby, Dusty Sandmeyer, and John Miller, who is, of course, super close friends with many people in Cornwall, but very beloved by my friend Dave. And passed away, had been ill for quite a long time, but I think he's one of those people that really leaves a big hole in the town.
And like we said, Dusty Sandmeyer had his services postponed for a year due to COVID.
Right. And May 29th.
And then the ball fields at Housatonic Valley Regional High School, the baseball field, will be named in honor of Ed Kirby.
Right. Actually, a trifecta of memorials for Ed Kirby there. So if you were an Ed Kirby fan and who wasn't, a nice way to find out ways you can remember one of the greats of the area.
And something that I just found out about the day before yesterday, and you've got a nice story on here, the federal program that promises to help with the cost of broadband.
Rob Buccino has been keeping an eye on developments in broadband and high-speed internet, et cetera, and had seen that there was information released on this new federal program that is COVID-19 related, so we'll see how that goes. But you really are always a good test balloon for us on what's out there and what's going to work.
Once again, that is on the national level. That's political too, as well. I love that the back to back pictures. You got a picture of the beautiful color picture of the National Day of Prayer, but below that, there's a picture. I guess it's from 1970, of an antique sale.
That's the famous antique sale that actually happened on Rob Buccina's property. Rob, who wrote about the FCC broadband assistance that's being offered, but it's such a great picture. Everybody that's in that photo is so interesting, and that big wooden Indian is so interesting. But we're having the best time going through these old photos that Perry Gardner and Kathy Phillips have been scanning for us slowly. And, you know, we have 60,000 photos that we need to figure out how to, you know, a home for and how to scan. But we're having so much fun looking at these old images, putting them in the paper. We had put a picture of the same antique sphere, I think, 2 weeks ago in the paper, and somebody from Georgia had written and said she'd managed to figure out what issue it was in. So that's why we ran it again. And a few other people had written in with their memories of that very famous tag sale that used to happen here.
All right. I want to go on to the opinion and editorial pages. Johnny, your editorial, readjusting expectations may take a minute.
Right. As we're coming into this time where many of us are fully vaccinated and things are opening up again and we can do things outdoors, you know, as cool as this spring has been, it's still a time that's very different from winter, and so things are opening up, and we need to be aware of people around us who have had a hard time through COVID for one reason or another. Many of us have, maybe all of us in one way or another, but we just have to be aware of everybody's comfort levels, and so that's what we talk about, and, you know, being careful, but ready to get out there.
Absolutely. And turning back the pages, I love the story from 1971. Items on sale at AMP this week: bacon, sliced, 1 pound package, 69 cents. Scott Big Roll towels, 3 for $1. And Page ketchup, 14 ounce, 2 bottles for 49 cents.
I have a better question.
I love this. And how about this? 80-size Florida oranges, 10 for 79 cents.
Now, I've got a question. Where was the A&P?
I believe it was in Lakeville.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You win. You win the prize.
But, you know, so that's an interesting thing, because many of us looking at this, says we think to ourselves, where are these places? But you can go online to the Scoville Library and see archives of the Lakeville Journal. This is what Norma Bosworth does to write this Turning Back the Pages column, and you can find information like that. But yeah, I believe the A&P was where the boathouse is now. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm almost positive that's where it was. You're exactly right. Yeah.
All right, so you win too.
Isn't that something? Wouldn't it be nice to have a food store right in the middle of one of our little towns? Well, we do have Le Bon's right in Salisbury, but right on Main
Street. But anyway. Was that there? Was Shagroy there at the same time as the A&P?
No,
I believe they were on Main Street at that time.
Shagra came later than
A&P. I'm just wondering whether there were whether there was a store in Salisbury and a store in Lakeville. That's what I was asking.
All right. Then the letters to the editor. Once again, you've got the Day of Prayer, Reasons to Rejoice, Housing, and Underwater, Cheney and Democracy. I mean, the letters that you've been getting are really varied.
Very varied, hitting on serious topics, but, community topics as well. And so, yeah, we're always glad to get them. Please do send them to us by Monday at 10 a.m., except going into Memorial Day weekend, we'll have an early deadline.
All right, and then your viewpoint page, letter from Nepal in the time of COVID, Black Lives. Do Black Lives Really Matter in the U.S. Today? And A Path of Discovery into Theater, fully wrought by Lonnie Carter.
Right, and of course, Peter Steiner's cartoon, yeah. Very timely. Do not miss that one, talking about Liz Cheney.
Doesn't even have to talk, just it's great. The two men are talking, you get the gist of it right from that. That's the great thing about great political cartoons,
really. It's true, just a few lines, and it's like, that's how it is. But
Either you love it or you hate it in like 2 or 3 lines.
That's a cartoon. Yep. That is what it's all about. So by all means, share with us whether you love it or hate it. We got Shanta Dixit to write for us from Nepal on the COVID pandemic there, and of course, India, which is adjacent. And so John Swan, who is a regular guest contributor, has known Shanta for a long time and convinced her to write about what's happening there. And so thanks to him for connecting us to her. And do give that a read. It's a fascinating and deep look into what's happening in the rest of the world with COVID right now. And, of course, Lonnie Carter on his path into theater. It's fascinating, really fun to read. And Barujan Frangian writing about Black Lives Matter and where we are with race in the country today. Very difficult topic. He shares his thoughts. By all means, chime in if you'd like to. And don't miss the one bear photo we do have this week by Caitlin Hanlon, the most relaxed-looking bear ever in her yard.
We'll go to Compass, and it really is an arts and entertainment front page because you go from the Kent Art Association to the Studio Tours and the American Mural Project right there on the front page.
And Sharon Plass, it's going to be we're getting up to Memorial Day weekend, and we're getting up to the opening of the state again, and people are really raring to go. Still activities that are going on online, Arsenic and Old Lace, which is such a hilarious play. The guys from Sharon Playhouse are putting it on Zoom, and they said, you know, the nice thing with Zoom is that we're calling in a lot of cast members who are all over the country, people who are former Sharon Playhouse performers, people who are local, and they're doing this very funny play, which they chose, they said, not only because it's fun, but also because it's got a large cast and lets them bring a lot of people in. So that will be on Saturday, May 22nd. If you log in and make your donation of $3, then you can watch it either live at 3 p.m. or any time that day or the following day, and there's also going to be a cocktail party before the performance on May 22nd. Student work, it's nice to know that students are still able to do our projects and have them shown, thanks to the Kent Art Association from several schools in the area. The Winstead Whiting Mills, very interesting place, super fun to go to, definitely worth a day out if you feel comfortable. It's a big open space, no cramping up. And a lot of interesting people doing a lot of interesting stuff in there. Open studio days on the 22nd and 23rd, but also the American Mural Project, which is coming closer to being finished and open to the public. Ellen Griesdick of Sharon has dedicated so many years of her life to putting together a massive mural dedicated to the American worker. She's had students working on it. She's had lots of donations from different artists in the area. It's very interesting. The Barn is opening up in Egremont, Mass. They were having... they have dinner and shows. Complicated information on like when you can go, what you can see, whether you want to, if you wanted to go for dinner. But a lot of people very excited that they're open back up again, and you can go out for a night of pretty affordable music and a meal. Kotzbun, Patti Smith, the incredible Patti Smith, is doing a show at Kotzbun during their spring festival, and so they had sold out right away, and then a second show was added on, so we did a story on it, and then that sold out right away, so we had to adjust the story. But still exciting to know that Kotzbun, which is in nearby Tivoli, has Patti Smith coming up, and equally interesting dance. They've got Martha Graham dancers, Mark Morris, American Ballet Theater, so information on all that and how to log in and find out the schedule. Coming up on June 5th at the Hunt Library, almost a misleading headline in the sense that it's Sex and the Stonewall Generation. So it's not just about same-sex couples who survived that horrible period of Stonewall and the riots, but also just about older people still having intimate relationships. Jane Fleischman, who's an expert in sexual relations between older people, doing a talk specifically on same-sex relationships, but a very interesting person, and to the famous YouTube or TED Talk on Is It Okay for Grandma to Have Sex? And then Patrick Sullivan wrote about the Zoom talk that Jürgen Kalwa did. Jürgen, always so interesting. Living in a house in West Cornwall, right next to the Marshall Miles historic residence, where the book that the movie Patton was based on was written. And so he's doing a book about the book that was the basis of the film Patton.
What a great movie it was! I'd be a fan, and if you read the article, you might find out some things about Patton if you're not familiar that make him truly one of the greatest American generals and also one of the most hated American generals.
That's
what happens and things like that. Well, all that, and by the way, as a kid, I used to watch the movie Arsenic and Old Lace with my grandmother, and I used to have a blast. It was a very funny movie.
Cary Grant, like, what's not to like?
Well, that's it for the This Week in the Lakeville Journal, of course, available online, tricornernews.com, at your newsstands, and also for home delivery. We'll speak to you guys next week.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Take care. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal. Once again, tricornernews.com on the web.